Today being Lag BaOmer, we have many, many people who make it their business to visit the Kever of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. So it made me think about some of the details that we need to consider when we visit a cemetery. What is something that we need to keep in mind? Number one, says the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches, Reb Chia v'Reb Yonasan. The Gemara says a story about two good friends, Reb Chia and Reb Yonasan, who together were taking a walk one day, and they happened to be walking Beni Kivri. They passed through a Beis HaKvaros. Vahavi kashadia tchilta de Rabbi Yonasan akivri, and Rabbi Yonasan's tzitzis were sticking out. They were dragging, so to speak, over the plots of the cemetery. Amalei Rabbi Chia, his friend, turned to him and he said, Dalia, I think you should pick up your tzitzis. You should make sure that they don't drag on the floor, shelo yomru, so that the dead bodies here that are buried in this cemetery will not say, lemachar bayim etzleinu va'achshav mechar filmosanu. You don't want them to say, look, he's making fun of us. We don't have the opportunity to observe the mitzvah of tzitzis. As the pasuk says, hamesim chavshim in hamitzvahs, we assume that once a person dies, they no longer have the opportunity to observe any mitzvahs. It's only while we're here in this world. So we don't want them to say about you, look, he's trying to mock us. He's wearing his tefillin. He's waving it right in front of us, and he's showing that he has the opportunity to wear them, even though we do not. So that is what the Gemara says, that when one goes into a Beis HaKvaros, you have to make sure that you lift up your tzitzis and that they are not visible. So Rabbeinu Yonah, there on the Gemara, points out something that I think is a very obvious point. He says, well, from the fact that the Gemara there says that you're not allowed to have them dragging on the Kvarim, and he tells him that he should tuck it in, it seems that you would certainly be allowed to wear your tzitzis. It doesn't say you have to take your tzitzis off before you go into the cemetery. All he told his friend is, make sure that they don't drag over the plots. But, says Rabbeinu Yonah, we would not have an obligation to remove our pair of tzitzis before entering a cemetery. Now, it just so happens to be the Leket Yosher. Leket Yosher was the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. So he has many, many different things that he heard from his Rebbe, the great Trumas Hadeshen. And he writes that his Rebbe believed that it's Aser Lihikanes Lebeis HaKvaros Av Shehatalis Katan Mechuseh. His Rebbe was of the opinion that even if your tzitzis are covered and you're wearing a shirt on top of your tzitzis, you're not allowed to wear them into the Beis HaKvaros. And the Trumas Hadeshen made sure that Nosei Hameis B'Shas HaLavaya, all those people who are going to be carrying and handling the body, the Chever Kadisha or the family members, he made sure that they were poshed as Hatalas Katan before they started. That's what the Leket Yosher quotes from his Rebbe. And then he says that every time, on occasion, when he went with his Rebbe to the Beis HaKvaros for somebody's yard site or whatever it may have been, the Trumas Hadeshen always stood there by the entrance to the Beis HaKvaros, removed his pair of tzitzis, didn't simply tuck them in and hide them. He removed his pair of tzitzis, and only then did he go in. Uvitziyaso, writes the Leket Yosher, when he left, that is when he would put them on once again. That is the opinion of the Leket Yosher, quoting his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen. And as we know, that is not the opinion that we generally follow. So here Rabbeinu Yonah writes, from the story that the Gemara gives, it would seem that he did not instruct his friend to take the tzitzis off. He just told him it would be appropriate to hide the tzitzis and not have them out. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, we have a problem, because the Gemara says, Lo yahalech adam mebeis hakvaros utfilin berosho. It says that a person is not allowed to wear tefillin in a Beis HaKvaros. So why am I not allowed to wear tefillin, and yet I am allowed to continue to wear my tzitzis? What should the difference be? Well, says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's an obvious difference. The tefillin is something that I only wear because the tefillin is the mitzvah. And therefore, if I'm going to wear it into the cemetery, that's something that would be an inappropriate activity, because I'm showing them as if I'm able to do a mitzvah that you're not able to perform. So therefore, tefillin, out of the question. You're not allowed to wear tefillin in the Beis HaKvaros. However, writes Rabbeinu Yonah, when it comes to the pair of tzitzis, what do you expect a person to do? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's my shirt. The tzitzis used to be the clothing. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you expect a person, every time they go to a Beis HaKvaros, to take off their clothing? It's not so obvious that by wearing this shirt, I'm now putting it in the face of a dead body and showing that I can do a mitzvah. Tuck in your strings, and that's good enough, but there's no reason to take the whole shirt off. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you can't expect that people are going to get undressed every time they go visit a cemetery. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, b'taliso shelanu. Nowadays that we don't really wear a pair of tzitzis because that is our shirt, but rather we wear it simply because we want to fulfill the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. Then, says Rabbeinu Yonah, we have to get back to the discussion again. Because now that should be on the same level as tefillin. The only reason why I wear this tefillin is not because I like wearing boxes on my head. That's not what anybody else does. I only wear it because I have to do the mitzvah of tefillin. Talis today as well. The only reason why I wear a talis or a pair of tzitzis is simply because that is what the mitzvah is. Not because I want to wear it, not because I need another article of clothing, and therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe we have to get back to the discussion today and figure out, is it appropriate at all to wear our talis katan into the cemetery? After all, the only reason that I do it is to perform the mitzvah, not because it's a malbush, but rather because God told me to do this, and I have an undershirt, and I have a shirt on top, and a jacket, and a sweater, and a coat. I don't really need the tzitzis. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe we should say that by our wearing of talis and tzitzis today, which is not really for a malbush, but rather just to do the mitzvah, maybe we should say that we have to revisit the issue. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? As we know, the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros wearing your tzitzis. However, he then says, "Aval anu she'ein mechavnim bahem ela l'shem mitzvah." Says the Shulchan Aruch, but us today that we only wear the talis katan because we want to do a mitzvah. Asur afilu einam nigrarim al hakvaros. Says the Shulchan Aruch, for us now that the talis is not really a part of our clothing, but rather it's a separate entity, he says he thinks that that would be something that's not allowed. Bahani mili. If you're wearing it under your clothing, says the Shulchan Aruch, then he doesn't understand what the problem is. There should be no issue at all. My tzitzis aren't sticking out. Nobody sees the beged of my talis katan either. And therefore he says that that is okay. He writes that both in Arachayim, as well as in Yeridayasim and Shin Samach Zayin. And the Shach says, in the name of the Marashal, that this is the practice all over the world, that we do not remove our talis katan before we go into a cemetery, because we assume that it blends in with everything else, and that's not called a violation of Loeg LaRosh. I am not doing something disrespectful to the dead body. That is very different than a person who walks into a Beis HaKvaros with a pair of tefillin. Tefillin you see right away, and therefore you have to take those off. Now, where do you have to make sure to be sensitive? Somebody asked me this question. Do we assume it's immediately when you walk into the Beis HaKvaros, or do we assume it's only once you come within Dalet Amos to an actual burial plot? Sometimes you have a huge Beis HaKvaros, and the whole front of it is just an office, it's all gated in, but the burial plots don't start until one much further in. So do we assume once you're within the gate, then you're already considered in the Beis HaKvaros, or perhaps not? This is three opinions in the Achronim. The Bach writes that if you are in a Beis HaKvaros, but you're not within four Amos of the Kever itself, there is no concern at all. Only within Dalet Amos is where we have a concern, but outside of that is not a problem at all. And the Taz qualifies that statement a little bit, and he says, well, I agree with you in theory, but he says sometimes people aren't careful. Once you're inside the gates of the cemetery, you're going to start walking here, you're going to start walking there, you're not going to realize that you're within Dalet Amos, and therefore, says the Taz, I think that it makes sense that while you're within the confines of the cemetery, all of that has a status of Beis HaKvaros, and you should be careful and sensitive throughout the entire area. The Magen Avraham then takes it a step further, and he says, if I have a cemetery, even if there's a gate around it, I have no right to go wearing my tzitzis or my tefillin even outside of the gate of the cemetery. What do you mean? Says the Magen Avraham, if you're within Dalet Amos of the Kever, what's the difference if there's a wall there or not? What's the difference if you're within the designated area? Either way, he says, you're within Dalet Amos of the person who's buried, and that's a disrespectful thing to do. And therefore, writes the Magen Avraham, that would be something that you should be careful about, even if you're outside of the Beis HaKvaros. Now, there's a very important discussion about saying Tehillim, or davening, next to a kever, next to a grave. The story really begins with the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama Daf Tazayin, and there the Gemara says there was a great person by the name of Chizkiyo HaMelech. And the Gemara says there were certain things that Chizkiyo did in his life that were very brave, and the Chacham were very proud of him. There were other mistakes that he made that they were not happy about. Al Shlosha Hodilo, Al Shlosha Lo Hodilo. But says the Gemara, after he died, V'kavod Gadol Asu Lo B'moso. They did something very special to honor the memory of Chizkiyo HaMelech. What did they do? Says the Gemara, what they did was Hoshivu Yeshiva Al Kivro. Says the Gemara, they made a yeshiva right on top of his grave. That is the greatest thing you could do for a person who dies, to make a yeshiva right on top of his grave. So Tosis asks, how are you allowed to do that? Don't we know that you're not allowed to study Torah in a Beis HaKvaros? That would be also a disrespectful thing to do. So how can they go and start a yeshiva there? Every day they're going to have a shir, and people are going to learn in the Beis Medrash right there on top of the grave. That's not a respectful thing at all for a person who just passed away and is not able to learn Torah. So Tosas there says no. It means it was Berichuk Dalad Amos. It doesn't mean Hoshivu Yeshiva Al Kivro. It doesn't mean they buried him in the ground and then they started laying the bricks to have a building built on top of his grave. Of course not. What it means is that somewhere near the area of the Kever of Chizkiyo HaMelech, they made a yeshiva called Yeshivas Chizkiyo HaMelech, and it was in his honor, in his memory, and that is the greatest way to honor the legacy of Chizkiyo HaMelech. So that's what Tosa says, that it was outside of Dalet Amos. But what you see from that is, the Gemara clearly assumes that you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn within Dalet Amos of the Kever. And the question is, how do we deal with that? The Shulchan Aruch actually quotes that, Lehalacha in Yaradeya Simen Shin Samach Zayin, that if you do that, if you learn in a cemetery next to the grave, that would be something that is considered to be disrespectful to the person who is buried there, because they are not able to learn, and you're sort of showing them that my life is better than yours. So you don't have a right to do that. So the Drisha there on Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Tashbetz, if you're going to say Tziduk HaDin, that's something that's Lichvodo Shel HaMeis, you're saying a Kel Malay for the Meis himself, that's not inappropriate at all. And therefore, there are many who extend that and they say, Kaddish also falls under the same guideline. The reason why I'm saying Kaddish is for the person who passed away. That's Lichvodo Shel HaMeis. So therefore, that would not be a violation at all. In fact, this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes there in Sif Yud Zayin and Shin Samach Zayin. He says, let's say, I always wondered, you go to a Levaya, and you have people who give Hespedim, and they quote all kinds of Psukim and Midrashim and Mamari Chazal. How are they allowed to do that? You're learning Torah in the presence of a mace? The answer is no, we're doing this lichvodo shel hameis. The reason why I'm quoting the psukim and all the mamari chazal and all the midrashim is because I want people to understand how great this person actually was, and the best way to bring out my message is by quoting a pasuk, by quoting a mamar chazal. So therefore that would be permissible, writes the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore they say over here as well, to say a kel malay, to say a tzidik hadin, or perhaps to say a kaddish, would be something that is permissible. However, if you're doing something for yourself, so to say Tehillim there as a schus for the niftar, that's one thing. But if you're going, and now let's say it happens every so often. I was at a Levaya 2 weeks ago, and in the cemetery, it was almost time for Mincha, so people said, why don't we make a minyan? So it was a nice idea. Problem is, you're not allowed to make a minyan there in the cemetery. That's not permissible at all. That is the prohibition of Lo Egla Rosh. You are showing the mace that we're able to do something that you're not able to do. So that's something that is not permissible. So the Vilna Gaon had his own reason why he thought people shouldn't daven by a kever. And my father is very makbid on this, that he said, it looks like you're Dorish Ala Mesim. Some people have the mistaken impression, they say, I'm going to go daven to the tzaddik. You don't daven to the tzaddik, you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you ask God that in the schus of this great person, in the schus of my father and my mother and my grandfather, in this tzaddik or tzidkanios, any of these people, we say, we should be able to be answered for whatever it is that we want. But we're not davening to the tzaddik himself, that's Dorish Ala Mesim. You're not allowed to have a conversation with a dead body. And therefore we assume that davening in a Beis HaKvaros has two potential issues. Number one, the fact that you are perhaps potentially being Dorish Ala Mesim, so you always have to know carefully that you keep a perspective. When I go to a Beis HaKvaros and I offer a tefillah, even if I say Tehillim, I'm not saying that as a tefillah that is directed to the dead person. Rather, I'm saying it as a tefillah that is directed to God Himself in the merit of this person who passed away. And number two, one has to be careful that you do not offer your own private tefillos that have nothing to do with the nifter. If it's not a schus for the nifter, you should not just make a minyan for mincha in the middle of the Beis HaKvaros. And this is really what leads the Minchas Elazar and other great achronim to try to figure out what heter do we have today. People go all the time to a Beis HaKvaros. And the Minchas Elazar says, take for example, Kever Rachel. Take for example, Meiron. Tons of people go to Meiron, Reb Shim Ben Yochai, and they all daven there, and they all say Divrei Torah, and they all learn there. So the Minchas Elazar says, this has to be a minhag that has a credible source. After all, wonderful Jews have been doing this for many, many years. And when they went to Kever Rachel for the first time, says the Minchas Elazar, somebody brought a Sefer Torah there, and somebody set up a yeshiva there with a Beis Medrash there. Obviously, that was something that was allowed. So how can you explain it? The Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do that based on the Gemara and Brachas that says explicitly, not allowed to daven. So this is something that he's troubled with. So he says, well, maybe the answer is that you don't have to worry about Lo Egla Rosh, because when you're talking about a tzaddik, the Gemara says, tzaddikim b'misasam kriyim chayim. that a tzaddik, even after they die, they're still considered to be living. How are they still considered to be living? You look at them, they're not alive anymore. So it's because all of their good deeds that rubbed off on the community around them and all the wonderful influence that they gave over to others continues to live on even after they die. So maybe that's what it means. Okay, it's a nice agada. That's not the way that the halacha can really answer the question. Then he says, maybe the answer is because Rachel Imenu died before the Torah was given. And therefore he says she never had an obligation to learn Torah. She never had an obligation to learn, and therefore that's not Loig LaRush. Loig LaRush means, I go to somebody who had an obligation to do a mitzvah, and I say, ah, now you're not able to do it anymore, but I still can, I'm alive. That's disrespectful, but to go to Rachel Imenu, who never had the obligation in the first place, maybe that's not a problem at all. That doesn't answer Reb Shimon Yochai. Shimon Yochai lives in Meiron, and he's not alive, and he came after Matan Torah, and he had an obligation to learn Torah. He was Torasim Noso, he learned all the time. Don't you think he feels bad when people are learning Torah next to his grave, and they're not really being sensitive to this issue of Loeg L'Rosh? So the Netziv writes, maybe an interpretation could be that since today we have the practice that we don't just bury somebody right underneath the surface of the ground, but we dig down more than 10 tfachim. It's very deep down that you put a person into the ground. Says the Netziv, in Hilchas Shabbos we find that 10 tfachim is considered a reshus bifnei atzma. So if let's say I'm carrying a reshus harabim, and then there's a ditch that goes down 10 tfachim deep, even though it's right in the middle of the street, if I'm going to take an item from here and put it down into that pit, then we assume you have now moved something from a reshus hayachid to a reshus harabim, or vice versa, because we assume once something is at an elevation of 10 tfachim, either above the ground or below the ground, that already considers it to be a reshus bifnei atzma. Says the Netziv, maybe that's why we have the minhag today, that we bury bodies so deep down under the ground to show that we don't want to be worried about this anymore. Once the mace is in a reshus bifnei atzmo, he's 10 tvachim under the ground, maybe, writes the Netziv, we have no more reason to be concerned about this problem of loig l'rush, and maybe that's the reason why nobody has a problem going to all these cemeteries and all these kivriyat tzadikim and offering tfilos and offering Talmud Torah there as well. Reb Hanani ben Akasha Omer.